Go behind the wheel and under the hood on everything automotive with high-speed stuff from HowStuffWorks.com. And be sure to check out the new high-speed stuff blog now on the HowStuffWorks homepage.
Welcome to the podcast. Thanks for tuning in. This is High Speed Stuff with Ben and the go-to guy for all things automotive at How Stuff Works, Scott Benjamin. Scott, what's going on today? How you feel?
I feel all right, Ben. Thank you.
Well, I have a question for you. I hope you're feeling in your question-answering prime.
Of course I am. I'm always ready.
Awesome. Okay, well, let's knock this one out of the park. We talked a little bit before about mile per gallon. We've spoken with each other about alternative fuels, electric vehicles, stuff of that nature. And that's when you introduced a very interesting concept called hypermiling. Mm-hmm. And I was wondering if you could elaborate, what exactly is hypermiling?
Well, I didn't introduce it, but I think we mentioned it. Yeah, I don't take full credit for that, of course. That's been around for a while. But hypermiling is really interesting. And it plays a lot into some of the things we've been talking about. Like you mentioned, weight is one big factor that comes into this. And we'll talk about all this as we get into it here, but hypermiling is really just squeezing every last ounce of energy out of that that gallon of fuel that you can. It's maximizing your car's potential to achieve, you know, these seemingly unreachable miles per gallon numbers.
I see where you're going here. Yeah. I think so. It's more like an umbrella term for an overall strategy, right?
Yeah, it's strategy. It's definitely strategy. It's how you drive your vehicle in order to increase your miles per gallon. And there's a lot of things you can do to increase the miles per gallon in your car. And there's some success stories. You know, you can find people that, you know, their vehicles just far exceed what the EPA rating for that vehicle would be. You know, you purchase a vehicle brand new and it says it gets 25 miles per gallon. Let's make up a number.
Sure.
You find a way to make that car get not 25, but maybe, you know, 37 or maybe 50 miles per gallon.
50, huh?
Well, doubling it's a little bit steep, but, you know, back it down a little bit. But, yeah, that's what they're trying to do. They're trying to extend that mileage.
Well, maybe we could go through then the basics, the basic things people do to their actual vehicle to make this happen. Like, I get the sense from what we're talking about with weight that it kind of calls back to the technique used in racing vehicle design, right, where you try to take out the passenger seat because you don't need that and get rid of extra heavier interior elements?
Sure. Yeah, I mean, that's one part of it. You can you can make your vehicle lighter.
Okay.
So you can remove what you don't need. It's, you know, just getting rid of, you know, the toolbox that sits in the trunk if you don't need it. That's kind of a dangerous one to remove, I've found. But, you know, you may not. Hypermilers will take out the spare tire in the back and the jack because they don't want that extra weight. And that's a little bit dangerous to head on the road without a spare tire and a jack.
Yeah.
You know, if you're one to carry a toolbox with you at all times, you know that the day that you take it out of the trunk is the day you're going to break down and need that. That, you know, Murphy's Law type thing.
But yeah, I think that's in the Constitution.
Yeah, I think so, yeah. But, you know, a lot of people do just take out anything that's kind of hanging around in the back there that they don't need. I mean, you're carrying around a surfboard in the back of the car. You don't need that.
Right,
you know,
right.
That's extreme. But,
yeah,
you know, you're carrying around, I don't know, ski boots or whatever it is. Just any weight reduction that you can make in that vehicle, that helps.
Like my portable yurt probably is weighing down.
You have a portable yurt.
You know what? I definitely don't judge my partner in podcasting.
Yeah, okay, well, no, I won't judge you either. If you carry a yurt, that's great.
Okay, well, let's
anything. Yeah,
yurts aside, I guess one thing that I've always heard a lot about is I remember on road trips, you know, if my folks were about to run out of gas, they would say, "Oh, turn off the air conditioning.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to make it to the next rest stop, come hell or high water."
Sure.
Does that affect it?
It does. It does, yeah. I mean, accessories drain your vehicle of miles per gallon, really. You know, even lights, using your headlights will drain your vehicle. Of course, air conditioning takes away power as well. You know, you're using energy to run that compressor, so yeah, of course that happens. But keeping your windows rolled up is another thing. You know, if you're to drive around, that's one of the techniques we'll mention here in our kind of, we've got a laundry list of hypermiler techniques and tricks.
Oh, yeah?
And one of the things that we'll get to is, you know, AC. And actually, you have to run the AC, or actually no AC, I should say, and the windows up, because you're getting, you know, resistance if you have the windows down.
Oh, reducing drag.
Sure, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know what? I'm intrigued by this laundry list, Scott.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, is it something that we can jump into?
Yeah, sure. We can. We'll just go down it kind of quick, and if you feel you need to say something about whatever I bring up here, we'll jump in.
Please do. Hypermile.
Please do. All right. So main thing. Now this is just compiled from lists that I found kind of here and there everywhere. So kind of a mix. No particular order, and some of them are very dangerous. So you have to know that up front that, you know, these aren't recommended by any means. Some of them are really dangerous. Others, you know, just make common sense. You know, they just make good sense.
Okay, so that sounds like a disclaimer
for
our listeners.
Yes,
be aware that we are not necessarily recommending these things. This is for information
purposes. Make it sound very official. Yeah. Okay, so the first thing we need to say is drive the speed limit or slower. That's number one. Yeah.
Huh.
I've read that every 5 miles per hour over 55, you lose about 10% in your fuel economy.
10%.
Yeah, that's wind resistance, rolling resistance, all kinds of extra resistance that you, achieve or as a result of you going that much faster through the air. So let's say you're going 70, that's 15, quick math, 15 miles over 55, and so you're reducing 10%. Now you're losing like 30% of your fuel economy just by going
steep.
70 versus 55. And that continues on up. I think it probably even gets steeper after that point.
Wow, that's pretty tough news, man.
Yeah, it really is.
I know you like speed. So.
Yeah, I know. I mean, 70 is not all that fast, really. I mean, when you're on the highway, you're going 70, 80 regularly. So slow it down to 55 or even lower is what they recommend. But again, like I said, some of these are dangerous. If you're on the highway going 55 and everybody else is going 75, that's that's dangerous.
They could be dangerous,
Next thing, don't use your brakes.
Well, when?
See, now your pause. See, that
that
tells me a lot. Yeah, that's what I kind of did as well. Don't use your brakes. Come on.
You have to, but
look ahead, plan, try not to use your brakes. Coast when you can. You know, avoid speeding up, slowing down, speeding up, slowing down. That's, of course, waste fuel. To a point, I mean, speeding up to highway speeds and then nearly stopping, then speeding up again and stopping. Mm. There's a difference. We're going to talk about another practice later that kind of involves speeding up and slowing down, but it's done in a different way.
Well, I have to stop you on this one. How do people who vow not to use their brakes, because I get the feeling hypermilers are maybe not fanatical, but very focused.
Nearly fanatical.
They're dedicated.
Yeah, they're dedicated.
So how would we as hypermilers handle things that are legally hard stops, like stop signs or traffic lights?
That's kind of a gray area for some people. They may, and this is, again, not recommended, but, I mean, if you come to a stop sign in a neighborhood, a lot of them will say, I'm going to look around before I get there, and they're very aware of the surroundings, and if they can, they'll just slow down and maybe roll through that stop sign.
Not all but some.
Not all but some, of course, and that's maybe not the best way to handle that, but it's good for the fuel economy.
Man, okay. So
And they also try to take a route that avoids those stop signs and stoplights. So that's another thing that you can do to kind of avoid using brakes. And if you're in a stop-and-go situation, like I drive home on the highway every night, invariably I'll end up stopping on the highway. You have to, stop and go traffic,
right,
and you move 8 feet and stop. If you were to leave a little bit of a gap between you and the next car, and you're able to keep your car rolling and not touch the brakes, but very slowly, just kind of idling forward and continue that motion all the way through, you're going to be saving fuel because you're not, stopping, accelerating.
That sounds a lot less crazy than running stoplights.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So.
No, again, that's just extreme examples.
Sure.
That's how you stretch the miles, I guess.
And we can get to the dark side of hypermiling later.
Yeah, that's right. And
what's next?
One more thing at the brakes. Some even refuse to touch brakes during turns. So, they're not maybe taking a turn a little faster than they should. It can be a little dangerous.
Are you serious? I mean,
sure.
That's not as bad in a a Honda or something as it would be in a 16-wheeler.
Oh, yeah.
I guess don't have many hypermilers.
Probably not.
Yeah.
I don't know. I wouldn't say for sure. But, that's kind of planning and this forethought that, I'm going to have a turn up here. I'm going to let off the gas. I'm going to coast.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to get to a reasonable speed and go through this turn without braking because you're just wasting energy when you brake.
I see.
All right. So brake. We'll move on past braking. All right. And the next thing is just coast whenever possible. We talked about that already, but there's this extra little element to this that some do. Some hypermilers will go so far as to turn the engine off and coast.
When?
So there's
really?
Yeah. on the road. So let's say you get up to speed, you're coasting, you know, you put it in neutral, and they'll shut the engine off. And that way they're using no fuel to coast whatever distance. You know, if you're in a mountain situation or whatever, this is really dangerous because your brakes aren't as effective, steering not as effective, or potential, it depends on what type of car you have and what position you've locked your, you turn your key off into, the steering could lock up on you. So again, very dangerous, but and not recommended.
Not recommended.
Not recommended. No.
Okay.
No. Okay, avoid hills. You know, you don't want to go uphill as often as possible. You want to stay on a flat, or you can only go downhill one way, I guess. So if you're coming back, you know, you have to go uphill. But if you can, you just maintain the shortest, flattest route, I guess, is what they try to do.
I see. And that goes back into the planning, huh?
Yeah, that's right. Planning. They're consistent planners. They plan ahead. They plan everything they're doing, it seems. Pays off. The next item, it would be, there's another dangerous one, overinflate your tires.
Overinflate?
Overinflate, yeah. Overinflate. It's less rolling resistance. Uh-huh. The danger is that you have a little less traction, and they wear out sooner than they would if they were properly inflated.
Oh, I see. So it's definitely a cost-benefit calculation there.
Yes, that's right. Yeah. Okay. And, you know, the rolling resistance thing is big. That's so, you know, you want to be able to coast as far as you can, and soft, squishy tires, you can imagine, wouldn't be as effective at that as, you know, as harder tires.
You know, Scott, I can imagine that because it makes sense to me logically, you know, that underinflated tires decrease gas mileage, right?
Mm-hmm. That's right. And you can feel when your tires are underinflated that, you know, you just don't roll as far. I mean, if you let off the gas and you're coasting towards a light, your car will seem to be a little more sluggish. It'll slow down a little faster than it does if your tires are fully inflated, you know, properly inflated, or even slightly overinflated, which we're talking about here.
Yeah, that's a good point, man.
Yeah.
All right.
Works, but again, dangerous. Don't recommend it.
Okay, not
right. Yeah, that's right. Next, let's see. Some of the other things that they talked about is using thinner oil in the engine so that, you know, the engine internals. This, again, this goes deep. I mean, they really think about this.
Yeah.
Thinner engine oil means that, you know, your engine is, I guess it's using less energy to power itself. It has less resistance to go through. It's a thinner mix, I guess. I don't know if you've ever been in a cold climate and tried to pour motor oil into an engine. It's like syrup. It really is. It becomes very, very thick. It's just like maple syrup, or even thicker. You know, you can imagine that a thinner oil would be a benefit in this situation.
Okay.
And you know, synthetic oils, that helps as well. And that can apply to transmission, engine, you know, anywhere that you have fluids in your car. Use a thinner mixture, I guess. And, of course, you know, you have to stay within manufacturer's recommended, you know, viscosities and things so that, you know, it's safe. But that makes sense.
That does make sense.
Here's a funny one.
All right.
If you can avoid it, don't drive on a windy day. I know that sounds ridiculous.
That's,
and, you know, it really is, but it makes sense. I mean, it goes right back to wind resistance. And if you're already starting out on your journey with a 40-mile-an-hour headwind, then when you're traveling 45 miles per hour, you've got an 85-mile-an-hour headwind. So it makes sense. It really does if you think about it that way. Now, not very practical. You can't you know, call into work sick because of wind, but
I've never tried that.
No,
one.
Maybe give it a shot. Maybe see what happens.
Yeah, watch out. My boss listens to these. So.
We already talked about avoiding stoplights and stop signs. That's pretty obvious. Yeah. Here's one that I didn't think of really is you ride on the ridge of the road. You ride so that, you know, the tires are not in the same place that everybody else's tires are in a lane of traffic.
Mm-hmm.
So you're more towards the lines on either side, either left or right, suggested right, I would guess, so that you're not in oncoming traffic. But if you look at a road, you kind of notice how a pattern is worn into it. After a certain amount of time, it's not always flat.
Sure.
There'll be a crown in the middle and kind of two grooves on either side where most vehicles' wheels, you know, travel.
Yeah, okay.
Imagine that on a rainy day, and you've probably seen it. You can see kind of channels of water. That's a lot of resistance on your tires as you're rolling forward. So let's say on a rainy day, you want to be outside of that channel. You don't want to be fighting the water that's pooled up in that area. You know, it's slower to drive through a puddle, right?
Right.
Than it is ground that has very little water on it or no water on it. So that just makes a lot of sense. But it's one I hadn't really thought of, you know, that you're straddling one of the grooves and you're kind of on top of the road. Is that the right way to say that?
Yeah, yeah.
You're on top of the crown of the road.
Sure. It's like I don't know. That's a good point. I never thought about that.
Yeah, it's interesting. I've only got a few more, so I won't bore you too much longer.
No,
with this,
I'm,
here,
this,
but,
is, this is my thing.
Okay, we talked about no AC, windows up, so yeah, you know, low resistance, and of course, less accessories running. That's always important. Maintenance, proper vehicle maintenance is big because, you know, you're running around with low oil or, you know, dirty oil. That goes for transmission. Oh, another thing, tire maintenance. We talked about that already, make sure your tires are balanced and, you know, in good shape. That's important.
Okay.
Balancing is important because then, you know, you've, again, less resistance. They roll properly.
Mm-hmm.
Very important. We talked about excess weight. Just get rid of anything that you don't need in the car.
Yeah.
Let's see. The other, I got three or four more here. One would be something they call pulse and glide. And we talked about this already. Pulse and glide is it's a technique.
Okay.
You're on the highway.
All right.
This one is kind of dangerous for other drivers. And dangerous for you, too. But other drivers, if they don't know what you're doing, this could be a problem. You get up to speed.
Mm-hmm.
Put it in neutral, coast down to a predetermined speed, whatever you decide that speed it would be, and put it back in gear, pulse it back up to whatever you're going to go to, you know, the maximum speed on the highway, and then let it coast back down. So you're in this continual cycle of acceleration, coasting, acceleration, coasting. And you'll find that, I guess, that really does work. That really maximizes efficiency.
Yeah, but that's unreliable, especially in crowded, or, in, you know, jammed with traffic.
Oh yeah, yeah, for sure. But it does help. I guess mileage,
sure,
big difference. Drafting is another one that's dangerous.
Okay,
drafting's a big one. I remember my dad a long time ago. You know, 1970s, we're in these boxy cars. They get terrible mileage, and we're on the highway drafting behind trucks. Not recommended, dangerous, but we wouldn't get as close as what you probably need to be to really see an increase. But you can feel that kind of that low pressure, I guess, pulling you along behind the truck when you get behind one, if you're too close. Mm-hmm. Again, dangerous.
Well, let's break down drafting in case somebody is not familiar with it.
Mm-hmm.
Drafting, if I'm correct on this, is the process of, or the strategy rather, of pulling your vehicle close behind a vehicle, oftentimes a larger vehicle, like a truck, and counting on the difference in wind pressure there, I guess, as the truck slices through the air, it leaves almost a wake.
Sure, it's breaking the wind resistance for you. You're in a low pressure area, and you're almost pulled along behind that vehicle, really. Not entirely, but you don't have all of that resistance against the front of your vehicle that you normally would have.
I see.
So yeah, it's dangerous, but you know, different lengths of drafting, you know, different distances from that vehicle produce different results.
I see.
Yeah, so, you know, depends on what you're up for. But
yeah. And again, not advocating tailgating.
No, not at all. Not at all. Of course, no idling.
No idling.
That's a big one. No
Never.
Idling. Nope, don't, you know, warming up the car is something, but, you know, if you're sitting at a stoplight, a lot of hypermilers will turn the vehicle off just so they don't have to idle, because idling is essentially 0 miles per gallon. You're using fuel. You're not going anywhere. So idling is kind of one of these things that they're targeting, you know, as a tremendous fuel-sucking area. And a lot of cars, I've read recently about a lot of vehicles that are coming out with idle-stop engines, or idle-stop features, I should say.
They just stop automatically?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, hybrid vehicles and, I shouldn't say hybrid, fully electric, yeah, hybrid.
Okay.
Vehicles.
Okay.
Idle stop features where the engine shuts off at idle speed. It's money savings, because you think about how often you're sitting stopped idling. That's actually quite often.
Mm-hmm.
And the last one I want to mention here.
Yeah.
Thankfully, right?
No, this is awesome.
hypermilers hate to use reverse gear.
Why?
Because you're using a certain amount of fuel to go, I guess, in the same direction you came from. I don't know if that's the right way to say that or not. Let me think about this. That's a better way to say it. If you pull into a parking spot and you have to back out of that parking spot, you're using twice the amount of fuel that you need to really use to go the same distance.
Yeah, that makes sense, because what you're talking about, got some hypermiling slang and terminology here.
Yeah.
They call it potential parking.
Oh,
so
okay.
It goes to planning. You want to find a parking space that allows you, ideally, to coast forward down a hill to the road. You always want to park at the top of the hill facing forward.
That makes sense.
And then, you know, they've got a couple other terms I picked up here. We already said ridge riding, right?
Yeah, that's right.
There's this other one you want to avoid. you know, cars tend to travel in packs in the interstate, or on the interstate, rather.
Sure.
And so one thing that hypermilers definitely try to avoid is what they would call a pack or a wolf pack, which is cars that are going too fast, you know, people getting into the nose-to-nose, neck-and-neck kind of racing each other, which happens a
lot. Sure, they push each other a little bit. It's a little it becomes competitive.
It becomes a little competitive, yeah. And so that's what they try to avoid. And there's a lot of information about hypermiling on the web. We already went over some of the, I guess we could call it the dark side of hypermiling.
Yeah, that's right.
The coasters, the drafters.
Sure.
There's another side of that, too, that people try to adhere to, conscientious hypermilers, don't condone the illegal tricks, most of which are illegal because, you know, the possibility of being in an accident greatly outweighs the benefit.
Of course, of course. You don't want to promote something that would be dangerous to others, of course.
Right. I could see that.
Yeah. Now, I mean, they have competitions, you know, to see who can go the farthest on 1 gallon of fuel or who can go the farthest on, you know, one tank of fuel.
Okay.
And they're pretty intense competitions. You know, people get very, very serious about it.
Yeah.
I've read several of these accounts, and they're pretty interesting. They're intriguing to read. You'll be surprised by the mileage numbers that you hear, because I've got examples of a 2009 Toyota Corolla XRS that has an EPA rating of 25 miles per gallon. Okay. So 25. So you buy it at the dealership. Yeah. They say this car gets 25 miles per gallon. You say, well, that's great.
Okay.
Someone, a hypermiler.
Wait, drum roll.
Yeah,
how much did you get?
62.7 miles per gallon over a distance of over 550 miles.
Man.
So that's a long highway trip, you know, from, you know, where probably all highway driving, of course. But, you know, that's a significant increase. It's nearly three times the EPA rating. Now, Honda Insight owners, now, I guess among hypermilers in Honda Insight vehicles, which are hybrid vehicles, no longer in production, I guess 100 miles plus per gallon is not that uncommon. The story that I was reading, the gentleman that was being interviewed, I guess he arrived for the interview and said that his mileage to get to the interview was horrible. It was 88 miles per gallon or something like that. He said he just wasn't on that day or something. You know, whatever, his techniques weren't right or whatever. I'm not sure what the story was, but you know, that's a car that's rated at 60, which is great to begin with.
Sure.
But can you imagine stretching that to over 100? Just, you know, based on how you drive, just in your techniques. If you're, you know, consciously thinking about hypermiling, and you do this, you know, consistently through a tank of fuel, you'll notice an increase.
Yeah, and you have to think ahead.
Yeah, that's right. And there's a couple. I get media updates from Volkswagen.
Okay.
Just member of their site there, and there's a couple that's. They claim to be the most fuel efficient couple in the world. You know, they're Guinness World Record holders, and their names are John and Helen Taylor.
Okay.
And they drove across our country here in a Volkswagen, new TDI Volkswagen Jetta.
All right.
And it's a clean diesel vehicle. They averaged 59 miles per gallon when they traveled across the U.S. That's how far is it? 3,000 miles? What is it? Something like that. It's incredible.
Yeah.
Very good. They hold records all around the world, by the way, this couple.
They're pros.
Yeah, they are. They're extremely experienced in this.
Yeah.
I guess I only have one more thing to really add here to this. I mean, you probably enough of me talking today.
No, awesome.
There's new technology, and this is kind of hypermiler related, I guess.
All right.
I found this really interesting. I guess now these are concept vehicles right now, I believe, but there's some new hybrid vehicles that are on the way from Honda and Ford. And they kind of encourage hypermiling or hypermile techniques or driving through the use of icons on the dashboard. So the driver can watch, in this article, they called it kind of a video game effect, you know, that you're constantly challenging yourself to increase your mileage. And I think that the way that the Honda does it is through a tree icon, and the Ford is going to use something like a vine, or that was the report anyways, that and these the tree becomes, I think it's becomes more lush, and so does the you know, more green. That's the idea. And the vine becomes more lush as well, you know, larger and you know, more foliage, I guess. But so you kind of adjust your driving to make that happen. So, you know, you either back off on the accelerator a little bit, mm-hmm. or, you know, you try not to use your brakes, and maybe it, you know, the vine grows a little bit, or the tree grows a little bit.
Yeah.
So it's an interesting way
that's
to do
smart.
That.
Yeah,
it really
smart,
is, man. Yeah, and it may promote this. It may get people to really think about it in a different way.
Well, Scott, before we close, I've got to ask you, in your professional opinion, as speaking as the expert, do you think hypermiling is a good idea when it's legit?
When it's legit, I really do. I think, you know, why not? You can save money on a tank of fuel, or you can, you know, make a difference in any way.
Uh-huh.
I say go for it.
Thanks so much, Scott. As for our listeners, if you'd like to learn more about hypermiling or anything auto-related, please drop by the Auto Channel on HowStuffWorks.com. And if you'd like to give us any questions or comments, feel free to write to Scott and I at
HighSpeedStuff@HowStuffWorks.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit HowStuffWorks.com. Let us know what you think. Send an email to podcast@HowStuffWorks.com.